Psalm, the book of Psalms, and we'll find Psalm chapter number 27. Psalm 27 and verse number 13. Psalm chapter 27, verse 13. Of course, Isaiah 40 is our text. That was our scripture reading. This is a passage of scripture that will be used to support our message here. Psalm 27, verse 13, the Bible says, I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Verse 14 says, wait on the Lord and be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you so much for your blessings. We're grateful for the opportunity that we have to be able to come together and to worship you in song, to worship you, Lord, also in our giving. We're grateful that we can worship you in encouraging others. And Lord, we're grateful that we can worship you in your word. And I pray, Lord, that you would speak to our hearts through the message of the Bible. I pray that you would guide and direct our hearts. I pray if there's an individual here this morning that is not sure that they're a Christian, I pray that today would be the day of salvation for them. And I pray, Lord, that you would help us to lean and to trust in you more through our message this morning. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. I think it would be an understatement this morning to say that waiting is hard. It's hard. Waiting in traffic, I can't say I'm a fan. Don't like it. I was driving for an appointment on Thursday, and I had a lot to get done, and I came onto the expressway, and I got stuck in traffic. It was a standstill, and traffic wasn't moving at all. I was making a visit to the hospital to visit Brother Doug. I had other appointments to make, and I had lots to get done, lots to do that day. And here I am sitting in traffic in a standstill, and I didn't like it very much. I wanted to move. I wanted to go. And, you know, to be honest, the traffic, you know, the roads were actually quite slippery. Coming down from Iron Needles off the expressway there, I slid a little bit, and as I'm driving further, I found out what was going on. There was an accident. A truck had flipped over, and that was delaying the traffic. As I'm sitting in traffic, I'm thinking, you know, I don't like traffic, but you know, his day is a lot worse than my day. And so, you know, if it wasn't for the waiting, maybe I would have been involved in that accident. Who knows, right? And so no one likes waiting. We don't like waiting in traffic. We don't like waiting in line. We don't like waiting for someone. We become impatient when we're waiting for someone to show up or someone to come. No one likes to wait. I use often that the average person spends 6 months to a year of waiting time in their life. 6 months to a year of their life, they're waiting for someone or for something. You know, waiting can be good for us. You know, I often say that waiting time is never wasted time. But the reality is that it can be wasted time based on our attitudes. In Exodus chapter 24 to chapter 32, Moses goes to retrieve the law of God, and Moses is gone for 40 days and 40 nights. Aaron is left in charge, and as the time passed, the people waited, and they began to grow impatient as they were waiting for Moses to return. In Exodus chapter 32, verse 1, they saw the waiting on Moses as a delay or a denial. And so what happens? Well, they turn to idolatry. And the waiting that they had really exposed what was happening in their heart. Aaron gave in to the people's demands. They shifted their attention from the true God to a false God. You know, waiting can really be a test of our trust in our life. Abraham waited for God to give him a son. And it wasn't just a promise for Abraham. It was a promise for the whole earth to be blessed. And Abraham waited for God to fulfill the promise. But Abraham didn't always handle the waiting on God the way that he should. You know, as much as our culture tries to eliminate the weight of life with their fast fixes and instant gratification, the Bible teaches us that we are to wait on God. We are to be still and to wait on the Lord. And this is what we find in our passage of Scripture. If you're familiar with the book of Isaiah, you'll notice that when you get to chapter 40 in the book of Isaiah, the attitude of Isaiah changes in chapter 40. He writes in earlier chapters of the coming judgment of God through the Assyrians and God's judgment upon the people of God. And now in chapter 40, he's writing to encourage and to comfort the people of God. In Isaiah chapter 40, it really is a comparison between the greatness of God, who God is, and the weakness of humanity. Isaiah 40 verse 15 says, "Behold, the nations are as a drop of a bucket, and are counted as the small dust of the balance. Behold, he taketh up the isles as a very little thing." You see, God says when we look at the nations of our world today, and we look at the military strength or the financial power that they may have, God says when we think about the nations of our world today compared to the greatness of God, he says they are nothing. They are less than nothing. He says they are just vanity. They are but dust on a scale compared to God. In fact, he goes even further in chapter 40. All the beasts of the forest or trees of Lebanon, a great forest area north of Israel. He says they, if all of the beasts of the forest, if all of them would be taken and sacrificed unto the Lord, he says they would not be sufficient for the Lord. This is how great God is. In verses 18 and 20, he tells us, of course, and paints the picture that idolatry is just a joke. You know, idolatry and its premise cannot help you, cannot save you. And then he makes the statement, who could ever take God's place? Who could ever replace God? And the answer is nothing. The answer is no one. In fact, in Isaiah 40, verse 26, he says, "Lift up your eyes on high, and behold, who hath created these things that bringeth out their hosts by number? He calleth them all by names, by the greatness of his might, for that he is strong in power, not one faileth." You know, really, Isaiah, in these verses, and I hope we understand it, he's building out this foundation of trust. He's trying to help us to understand who God is, and he's trying to establish the weakness of human substitutes, and he's trying to prove to us the greatness of our God, that God can be trusted. He reminds us in verse 28 that God never gets tired. Now we get tired. We get tired, and in fact, Isaiah said even the youths get tired. In verse number 30, the young men will fall, they will fail. But look what the Bible says in verse 31. He says, "But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." You know, I think it would be correct in saying this morning that the Christian life takes strength. It takes strength. And we understand that it's not our strength that helps us to live the Christian life, but it's strength that comes from the Lord. Can we turn to Ephesians chapter 6 in our Bibles? Ephesians chapter 6, and notice what the Bible says in verse number 10. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse number 10. It says this, "Finally, my brethren," the message here of Paul to the church at Ephesus, he says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might." And this is a consistent message throughout the Bible that we need God's help, that his strength is renewed or revived when we wait on the Lord. Now, Isaiah is no doubt talking about the promises of God. He's talking about the fulfillment of God's promises, and this is God's prophetic plan and God's prophetic purpose with the children of Israel. And it would seem to me from reading this passage of Scripture that these people have gotten tired of waiting on God. They got tired of waiting for God to act, waiting for God to move. And so they had decided to take matters into their own hand. And just like the people who demanded of Aaron that they create idols, powerless, useless idols, their attitude in this passage of Scripture really showed that the weight that they had on the God, that their perspective of waiting on God was nothing more than God's denial or God's delay. And we must be reminded of many things this morning. But one thing we cannot forget is that God is not slack concerning his promise. That God always keeps his word. And so we're going to look at this personal testimony this morning. And we're going to look at this message, if we could, trusting God when God tells us to wait. First of all, I want us to think about the requisite for strength. And I want us to be reminded of what the Bible says in verse 31. It says, but they that wait upon the Lord, they that wait upon the Lord. Now, this does not mean when we think about waiting, I don't know your perspective of waiting, but sometimes when we think of waiting, we think about just kind of passive inactivity or just killing time. I hate to use that expression, killing time, but that's how we think about waiting. We kind of think of just kind of twiddling our thumbs and waiting for God to act. They that wait upon the Lord, this inactivity in our life. But the Hebrew word here for wait, it carries the idea of hopeful trust, of expected dependence. It's looking to God and not rushing ahead in our life is the idea. And really, this is an act of faith. It's a place that we find ourselves often in our life, that God wants us to look to him and to continue to live the Christian life. And so this is a devoted place. Can we go to Psalm 104 in our Bible? Psalm 104. And notice what the scriptures say in verse 27. Psalm 104, the book of Psalms and the 104th Psalm. And verse 27, look what the scriptures say here, verse 27. It says this in verse 27 of this psalm. It says, these wait all upon thee, that thou mayest give them their meat in due season. Verse 28 says this, that thou givest them they gather, thou openest thine hand, they are filled with good. Verse number 28. Now, the verse here is generally talking about our world today, and it's God's provision to the just and to the unjust. Our world waits on God's provision to meet their needs. You know, God allows the rain to fall on Christians, and he also allows the rain to fall on unbelievers, those who curse his name, those who don't worship him. No, he allows the rain to fall on them as well. And they are waiting on God's provision in their life. You know, God even allows the snow to fall. And the snow, you know, the snow has its purpose. You know, we think that snow is just something that's there and cold and we have to shovel. But no, snow has its purpose. It actually isolates the earth. It protects roots in the ground for growth. It actually provides lots of nutrients for better crops in the summertime. The reality is snow has its purpose. In fact, you can write this down when you're going to get kind of sick of snow and, you know, you don't want any more. You can write down Job 37 verse 6. The Bible says, for he saith to the snow, be thou on the earth. Now, he's been saying that a lot lately, you know, to the snow, be thou on the earth. Every day, he seems like the Lord is saying that. But the reality is that snow has purpose and rain has purpose. And our world is waiting on the Lord. We could say that all the world waits on the Lord. Now, many, that is indirectly, they may sadly give credit to another, but the reality is they are waiting on the Lord. And I think it's imperative to understand this truth, that God created the birds of the air and the fish of the sea and all the creatures of the earth. They are waiting on the Lord. Think about that. They are waiting on the Lord to provide what they need. They are created to be sustained by the Lord's provision. From the rain that falls and the moon and the sun, God made it all to meet the needs of his creation. And if we could truly understand that, then all of nature would be a preacher to us. We would understand that they are waiting on the Lord. They don't worry about it. They just wait on God's provision. God meets the needs. God provides. And so let's compare this with Psalm 145 now in our Bible. Psalm 145, this is often called a kingdom psalm, and it's a psalm for a kingdom people. And look what the Bible says in Psalm 145. Now, we talk about generically the world is waiting on God, and God meets the needs, but also specifically for the people of God, Psalm 145, verse 14, the Bible says this in verse 14, it says, "The Lord upholdeth all that fall and riseth up all those that are bowed down." The eyes of all wait upon thee, and thou givest them their meat in due season. Now this here, of course, is speaking to a redeemed people. And we are a fallen people. We are, the descendants of Adam, we are all sinners. We're a fallen people. And I'm glad today that the Lord upholds us. I'm glad today that we have, he has provided salvation, that our soul is redeemed. And this is the lesson of the Bible to a kingdom people, to a people who know the Lord. The eyes of all wait upon thee, and thou givest them their meat in due season. The reality is that, like it or not, we are waiting on the Lord. We are waiting on the Lord. God is meeting the need. Charles Spurgeon said this many years ago. He said, "They have learned to look on thee, and it has become their nature to turn to thee for all their want. As children look to their father, so do the creatures look to God, the all-sufficient provider, and they wait, and God gives." God provides the needs. And this is where all of us as Christians are today. We are all in this place of humility, looking to God for the needs of our life, whether that is the physical needs, emotional needs, spiritual needs. The reality is God is the provider of those things. Andrew Murray put it this way, "There is nothing so needful as to cultivate that spirit of dependence on God and of confidence in him, which refuses to go on without the needed supply of grace and strength." And so this is the place that we need to get to in our life, is a place of humility where we are looking to the Lord. And then we see not only this place of humility, but there's a desperate plea as well. Now, notice the prayer of David, and this is a prayer of waiting on the Lord. Can we go to the book of Psalms and Psalm 25 in our Bibles now? Psalm 25. And look what the Bible says in verse number 1 here, or verse 18, excuse me. Psalm 25 and verse number 18, we notice also a desperate plea. The Bible says this in verse 18, Psalm 25, verse 18. It says, "Look upon mine affliction and my pain, and forgive all my sins. Consider mine enemies, for they are many, and they hate me with cruel hatred. Oh, keep my soul," verse 20, "and deliver me. Let me not be ashamed, for I put my trust in thee. Let integrity and uprightness preserve me, for I wait on thee. Redeem Israel, O God, out of all his troubles." Now, what is David saying in this passage of Scripture? Well, of course, it's a prayer of trust. He's asking God to help him as he waits and trusts in the Lord. And even though in David's life at this particular time, everything seemed like it was falling apart in his life. I don't know if you ever got to the place in your life where you feel like everything's falling apart. It just seems like everything was falling apart in the life of David. David said, listen, I'm going to wait for you. I'm going to trust in you. Now notice how this wait is seen in David's life. David said, I'm going to obey you and I'm going to honor you. The Bible says, verse 34 of Psalm 37, wait on the Lord and keep his way. Now, this is important for us to understand what it truly means to wait on the Lord, because you can't just go ahead and do your own thing and live your own life as a Christian and follow your own way and say, well, I'm just waiting on the Lord. That's not how waiting on the Lord works. That's not the waiting on the Lord that the Bible teaches. Now, we can wait for the Lord, but that's not waiting on the Lord. We can do our own thing and wait for God to act, but no, the Bible says when we wait on the Lord, this is a commitment. It's following in integrity. It's following in uprightness as we are going the way that God has guided us in. We continue in that way, and we wait for God to act. This is trusting God. This is continuing in his way, and this is what it means to wait on the Lord. There's a place where we are humble to understand that we need God and his strength, and we are going to wait on him. But then there's also this integrity to keep on honoring and glorifying God as we wait for God to act in our life. We notice in this scripture also that there is a renewal of strength. Now, the Bible says in our text here in verse 31, it says, but they that wait upon the Lord shall, look at this, renew their strength. According to the Hebrew dictionary, the word renew there in the Hebrew means to sprout again, is the idea. And I like to illustrate it as indeed a revival of our strength. It is a revival of our strength to keep moving forward. I don't know what trials or difficulties you're facing this morning, but what I do know is that God knows and God cares. It's easy for us to become tired of the fight. It's easy for us to become tired of the battle. I was talking to a pastor a while ago, and we were talking about ministry, and he had stepped away from ministry. And I asked him, honestly, I said, why aren't you pastoring anymore? And this was his answer. He said, I'm just tired. I'm just tired. And many times this being tired extends more than just physical tiredness, but spiritual and emotional tiredness as well. The reality is that we are frail. We are frail and we faint. And waiting spiritually is staying put when everything inside us wants to run ahead. Waiting spiritually is trusting God and continuing in the pathway that he's revealed to us until he moves again. Someone said this, I like this. They said, waiting on God is drawing nigh to God and then waiting for God to draw nigh to us. Remember the Bible says, draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to us. It doesn't say the timeline there. It doesn't say when God's going to act or move. But it's knowing the promises that God says he will. And as we admit our weakness, as we seek God in prayer, I believe that there is a quiet exchange that is given as God renews our strength. Can we go again to the book of Psalms and find Psalm 27? There's so many of these wonderful psalms that just give us the testimony of Christians who live this in their life. When God revives and renews our strength, it's a blessing. And I think it's a quiet exchange that happens in our life. Psalm 27, verse 12. Look what the Bible says. Psalm 27, verse 12. It says this, deliver me not over unto the will of mine enemies. He says, for false witnesses are risen up against me, and such as breathe cruelty. Verse 13 says, I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Now notice the secret to not fainting in verse number 14. He says, look at this, wait on the Lord and be of good courage. Look at this. And he shall strengthen thy heart. He repeats himself again, verse 14. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Now remember, this is not prophetic. This is a testimony. This is David saying to you, would you wait on the Lord? I've been there. I've had the struggle. I felt like I was going to faint. And this was the secret to my success, is waiting on the Lord. Keep on doing what is right. Keep on living a life that honors and glorifies the Lord. Keep being a blessing. Keep God as the priority of your life. Waiting isn't being idle in your life. It's not waiting for something just to happen. Waiting is expecting God to show up. And so we continue down the pathway that God has given to us. And the Bible says when we do so, he revives that strength in our heart. Can we go to another psalm, Psalm 33 in our Bible, Psalm 33. And look what the Bible says in verse number 18 now. Psalm 33, verse 18. Psalm 33, verse 18. Look what the scriptures say here, verse 18. It says, behold, the eyes of the Lord is upon them that fear him, upon them that hope in his mercy, to deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive in famine. Our soul, verse 20, waiteth for the Lord. He is our help and our shield, for our heart shall rejoice in him, because we have trusted in his holy name. Let thy mercy, O Lord, be upon us according as we hope in thee. This is a great picture of waiting. It's looking to the Holy One. It's trusting that he can. It's continuing to live our life according to his will and not our will. And it's knowing and hoping that expectation that God will help us. And as we do that, there's this quiet exchange of God renewing our strength. You know, I've learned that faithful Christians, over the years you hear Christians that are faithful to the Lord. I've learned that faithful Christians, now listen to this. I've learned that faithful Christians are not good Christians, but Christians relying on a good God. Relying on a good God. And that God renews their strength. Because if you think that a faithful Christian never thought about giving up or quitting or fainting, you're wrong. But it's God who renews that strength, and there is that renewal, that quiet exchange to take another step. God gives them hope to take another step, and they continue to serve the Lord. I see a requisite for strength, a renewal of strength. And then thirdly, I'll be done here, the revelation of God. Let's look at our text in verse 31 again. Isaiah 40, verse 31, it says this. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. You see, when we wait on the Lord, we get God's strength. We get God's wisdom. We get God's goodness in our life. God's supply. Not your supply, not my supply, but we get God's supply. This is illustrated by our Savior in John when he says that we are the branches and he's the vine. Without him, we can do nothing. It is his strength that keeps us moving forward. Now we can go ahead and try it in our own strength. Can I give you a verse? Can we turn to Isaiah chapter 50 and verse number 11? Because God illustrates what it's like for an individual to try to live the Christian life in their own strength, in their own power, in their own wisdom. We can try to accomplish that, and we may have a little success. Isaiah chapter 50, verse 11, it says this, behold, all ye that kindle a fire, that compass yourselves about with sparks, walk in the light of your fire, and in the sparks that ye have kindled, this shall ye have of mine hand, and ye shall lie down in sorrow. You know, God says you want to illustrate for you someone walking in their own strength. It's like someone walking not with the light of the world, but they're just making a spark, and they're trying to walk in the light of a spark. I don't know if you ever tried to do that when you couldn't see the next step, but that would be hard to do. But that's what the Bible says. That's our strength. That's our wisdom. It's described as a spark for light, being guided through life with just a mere spark. Can I give you another verse? Proverbs chapter 24. Can you turn there with me? Proverbs chapter 24 and verse number 10. Proverbs chapter 24 and verse number 10. And notice what the Bible says in verse 10 together. Proverbs chapter 24, verse 10. The Bible says this in verse 10. It says, if thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small. You know, I've learned in my life that my strength is small. It is small. I've learned that I cannot be a good Christian in my own ability. I've learned I can't be a good dad or a good husband in my own strength and my own wisdom. My strength is small. Can we go to Psalm chapter 40 in our Bibles in verse number 1? Psalm chapter 40. And notice what the scriptures say here. Psalm chapter 40 and verse number 1. And notice what the Bible says here. Psalm 40 and verse 1. Look what the scriptures say. It says in verse chapter 40, verse 1, it says, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings. Now, isn't that a blessing when we read that passage of Scripture? This is what God has done for us. In verse number 3, let's continue to read here. In verse 3, it says, and he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear, and shall trust in the Lord. When we see, when we wait on the Lord, when we wait on the Lord and continue in the pathway that God has laid out for us, listen to me, God gets the praise for it. When I wait upon the Lord, there is a testimony of praise and there is a revelation of God in our life. This new song is a song of praise toward God. Where once it was a song of, hey, I can do this myself. Hey, I can accomplish this in my own ambitions or my own success or my own strength. My new song is a song of praise unto the Lord because this is what he has done for us. Can we go back to Isaiah chapter 40 in our text? We'll close it with this thought here. Isaiah chapter 40. What is the song? What is this new song that we sing? Well, I think Isaiah 40 and verse number 30. Is a great truth in this. The Bible says this, Isaiah chapter 40 and verse number 30. The Bible says, even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles, they shall run and not be weary, they shall walk and not faint. That is a wonderful song of praise. To the Lord. I had the opportunity, Brother Marr, Brother Poirier, and I went to visit Brother Doug in the hospital on Thursday. And they'll give testimony to this, and I know Doug probably wouldn't want me to say this, but as we listened to what he had to say, all he said constantly was, God is good. God is good. And it was a waiting on the Lord, of course. You're sitting in a hospital bed. There was a waiting on the Lord, but his heart was encouraged to know that God would be there to help. The Bible says they will see the Lord, and we will trust in our Heavenly Father. You know how eagles are taught how to use their wings? I'm sure you know. On a cliff 1,000 feet high over the sea, upon a rock ledge, the mother will stir up the nest. And it will make that nest uncomfortable for that small eaglet to be there. That's great. That's great advice if you're trying to get your kids to move out. Just stir up the nest a little bit. Make it uncomfortable. Don't pay for their cell phone bill. Make it uncomfortable for them to be there. And so that mother eagle will stir up the nest. And that small eaglet will jump out of that nest and that little eaglet will try to fly. And as it's heading toward the ocean, that little eaglet will try to flap its little wings. And just before it hits the water, the mother will swoop down and bear that eaglet on its wings and carry it back and put it back in the nest. And that will happen several times until one of those days, that little eaglet will feel the wind beneath its wings and it will fly. Because an eagle was created to soar. And the Bible teaches us, as we wait upon the Lord, He supplies our needs. He helps us so that we can soar like an eagle. I don't know your burden today. You don't know my burdens today. But I do know this. If we wait on the Lord, He will show Himself faithful every single time. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you so much for your many blessings that you've given to us. We're grateful.